Good evening and welcome to the Digital Age. Did you realize that last year that the Major League Baseball site streamed 10,000 events on the net? Did you watch the Olympics on the net? Do you think that all sports are going to go to the net, leaving cable television and regular television out, blackout? Do you think that's going to happen? Here to discuss that question tonight is Bob Bowman, who is the CEO of Major League A Baseball. What is that?
Advanced Media.
Oh, Advanced Media.
We figure a lofty name will help us in a lot of areas.
And Frank Hawkins of Scalar.
Scalar.
I'm very good at introductions, aren't I? Media used to be at the National Football League. Well, let's start at the beginning and let the audience see what this stuff, your stuff, Major League Baseball looks like on the net.
Runner at second, two out, and Iwamura grounds one up the middle. Utley, good play, has no play at first, throws home, and out is the call to end the inning. Bartlett kept running as Utley hung on to the baseball instead of throwing to first. Looks to first, fakes to first, comes home. Alert play by Utley. Bartlett out at home, and the top of the seventh is over.
You have this terrific site that streams all these events. What else do you stream besides Major League Baseball?
Major League Soccer, volleyball, a number of college events, and March Madness.
And it's pretty successful, isn't it? Are you making money?
We make some money. We make some money for
but
the
But, I mean, it's public. How much money do you make?
I don't know if it's public.
I read it on your website. It was a lot of bucks.
No, we didn't read it on our website. It's a successful business, but not surprising because we have valuable content. Live content is TiVo-proof. People want it. It's current. People want to see it. And if it happens to be live sports, it's even more valuable. And I'm not sure it will always be that way, but today and for the foreseeable future, it's going to be as valuable as anything out there.
And how many subscribers do you have? How does this work anyway?
We have an out-of-market package, and then hopefully we'll have an in-market package too. But today,
out-of-market package. That means if I'm in New York, I can't watch the Yankees. Is that right?
Or the Mets,
right.
There are two teams in New York.
Two teams, right. Okay.
I understand. You've identified yourself as a Yankees fan. But we'll move on. And you can't watch either New York team. If you're Chicago, same thing. But you can buy, if you buy the package, you can watch the 28 teams, providing they're not playing one of the other two teams, New York teams. And then you can watch them. And we stream it live. And in 2009, we're going to have an adaptive bit rate for the live stream.
What does that mean?
In English, what that means is the quality will be as good as your pipe. So if you happen to be on a massive pipe, figuratively a massive pipe, so you can get 10,000 megabytes a second. If you can get something that big, the Fios, if you will, 10,000 megabits a second, we can stream HD, true HD, TV quality HD, which means you could put that image up on a 64-inch TV with no degradation, and you would not know you're watching it from an internet connection rather than a TV connection.
Let's come back to that. And Frank, if this is such a good business, and go to the internet, by the way, and you look up how they're doing, they're making money. I don't know if Bob wants to disagree with me, but it looks pretty good to me. You were at the National Football League.
Yep.
If it's so good for him, why wasn't it so good for the National Football League, which, correct me if I'm wrong, doesn't have a comparable site?
We don't have a comparable site domestically. Even though I'm no longer at the NFL, forgive me if I say we. I was there 15 years, and I still think of myself as part of the family in some ways. We do have that site internationally. Now, why don't we have it domestically? We don't have it domestically because, for the moment, and I think for the foreseeable future, the internet isn't going to be capable of handling the massive quantities of people, the mass audiences, that are going to watch NFL games. Bob's got an advantage in terms of internet products because he's got a lot of inventory that's spread out. Over a lot of different...
What does inventory mean?
A lot of games. A lot of live games. He's not getting the sort of peak usage that you get with 14 NFL games packed in 6 hours on Sunday, which I think would cause, under current technology, strains on the internet.
That can't be right, because you must have six... Well, you got six.
No, yeah, I think it's directionally right, and I think it's changing rapidly. But for instance, if we wanted to stream simultaneously, let's say it was a huge game, the Packers playing the Bears on a Monday night, and you wanted to stream that game, and that was the only place it was available, you'd have 7-8 million people trying to get a stream of high quality. The internet's not ready for that. Frank is dead right. And I think there's another thing, too, why I think the current structure is here for the future, and we're all trying to advance it, but carefully. It's not just technology. The NFL, MLB, NBA, all the leagues make a lot of money from their rights holders, whether it's a local TV rights holder, a national, a radio, terrestrial radio, even satellite radio. And what we're all trying to do at MLB.com and NFL.com and all is add value, enlarge the pie, treat the fans right, let them try and watch the game in a system that respects and maybe enhances the value of people who are already paying a lot of money, and not come in like an 800-pound gorilla in a small China shop and say, we're here to fix it, and who cares what the money looks like. Money's not unimportant. And serving both the masters who own the rights holders as well as our fans, that delicate balance leads us to where baseball is today and where NFL is doing. I think NFL is doing a great job. I think they've optimized the value for their fans and for their owners, and that's what we're all trying to do.
Why couldn't you store the games?
Store the games.
Well, in other words, you don't go on all at once, but you store the games so I can go see a game I missed.
You can do that. The NFL has a different product, the NFL Network. It's got NFL Replay, and it basically does cut down versions of those games over the course of the week.
So how many people would see that?
Probably a one rating or something like that.
Oh, one rating? What's a one rating mean? We have a half rating, by the way, on this show.
In New York.
It sounds
in
pretty
New
good.
York. A half rating in New York?
It's pretty good, isn't it?
Very good. Excellent.
But,
better than some professional teams.
That's
one
right.
Rating
it's about
is,
the same as the Rangers, yeah.
One rating is under a million people, but, probably half a million or nationwide. But
so
remember,
half a million,
on a cumulative basis, too.
On a cumulative basis.
I think the other thing, too, is that, this is America. This is not some other country. We want it live. We want to know what's happening. And I think what's happening, too, whether it's a live football game, a live baseball game, or any other live event, the my kids, who are 11 and 14, if they happen to be watching broadcast TV that day or that night, which is not altogether common, but if they are, they've got a digital device in front of them, and they're talking to their friends. And so the two-screen experience, which was sort of...
They've got a digital device.
Their cell phone or their laptop.
They're talking as they're watching. Okay.
They're not watching as they watch. Sometimes they are. Because it's a different angle. But if they're watching the Yankees game on TV, first of all, as we discussed before, they can't watch it online because we are trying to respect rights holders and work with them if we want to move that direction. But they're talking to their friends, 65 IMs open, internet messengers open, talking to all their friends, smack talking about the game or saying it should be this or that, or talking about a manager's move or quarterback's move or a call. And so that actually is extending the viewing time, in some cases, for broadcast TV. It's the interactive part is not an enemy. It's actually a friend.
So what I get your argument on the National Football League, but why doesn't hockey stream their games? I'll make you change leagues.
Hockey should stream their games.
They just started.
Yeah.
Have they just started?
Their season starts in October. In October 2008, they imitated... The package that we have, an auto market package, mm-hmm. They have half as many games, so it's roughly 40 games a week. They started. They're very smart there. I mean, John Collins, who runs the business side, is smart. Mm-hmm. Came from the NFL, they're doing a good job. My own observation is all the leagues are optimizing the value. Baseball got here one way, NFL is another place, the NHL and the NBA are different places.
But how about basketball? I mean,
streaming their games, too.
I picked hockey because they're the same audience.
What you have to think through is streaming which games. They've got an out-of-market package, same way that MLB does, and it's very successful.
Let me just translate this for a second. That means that hockey streams games that if in New York and you're not a Devils, Rangers, Islanders fan.
There you go.
You can go see San Jose play or something.
And you're
like
protecting your national games on Versus, and you're protecting your local games, which here
so
are.
So they're doing
MSG,
it the same way MLB, which is me.
That's correct. Hockey maybe should be more aggressive in streaming because they don't have a real national TV deal. They may want to expose more of their games sort of as a teaser. You never know. That's something that I'm sure that Collins is thinking about over at Hockey, as to whether he should stream more games outside that package or cut down the size of the package to try and build his sports presence. NFL is coming from a very different perspective.
So what are we left with?
The second piece of what I was going to say is you're looking at a one rating for a replay.
Yeah.
You're looking at an average rating of roughly 10, which is about 12 million viewers, for a live NFL telecast. So
now,
that's
now hockey got three. Now I'm talking to you guys lingo, which is, let's say, 3 million viewers, more or less, for doing the game they did outdoors. So hockey's small. So you can do it for the small sports. So you do it every sport except football. Is that right?
No, you do it sport by sport. Volleyball. Which Bob talked
about. Oh, wait a minute, I'm just talking about the major sports.
The major sports.
The major sports, the only one you can't do it for is football, right?
No, I don't think. I think that technical constraints lead to problems for the World Series, for
the All-Star game. The technical constraints really are secondary, though. I mean, first of all, they're not trivial. Frank's right. Mm-hmm. But they are being addressed. Indeed, we have a product now that could, indeed, March Madness is a massive audience in a short period of time. Mm-hmm. But it's still there. But the real issue is the money.
Yeah.
That's the real issue.
Real issue is money?
I know that surprises you, but just humor me and let's move along the path.
What's the money? That's a good question.
Because the NFL has, you know, they receive billions of dollars.
Yep.
The last thing they want to do is have their audience diluted in their mind mm-hmm. and have them online. And we respect that. You know, the NFL respects it. MLB respects it. We respect it. We worship it.
But that's just a matter of time. I'm interrupting a little bit, but
that's okay.
I'm trying to sit in the audience and try to put this together a little mm-hmm. bit. But you say money. Do you mean money that they're getting from rights holders?
Yes, that's what I mean.
Okay. That's exactly right.
They're getting all that money from the regular TV networks. They don't want to screw around with it. And that's why you do an out-of-market package.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
But in the end, and I don't know if that's in 2 years or 20 years, but even the rights holders, they would welcome a system that would let a fan say, when I'm ready to watch a football game or a baseball game, don't tell me which device I have to watch it on. Let me watch it on any device, a cell phone, mm-hmm. a laptop, HDTV, a bar, wherever you are. Let me watch it. And I, the fan, don't care about how you allocate the money. I don't care. Just let me watch it. And that's what we got to move toward.
All right, so let's go back to the point you started making with respect to the quality of the picture. Because a lot of people, when they go on the net and watch video other than, you know, 2 or 3 minutes on MyTube or whatever it is, don't expect very good quality. But if we go back at the beginning of the show, I was surprised how good quality that is. Of mm-hmm. course, that's your promo off your site.
No.
So it should be good. But
thank goodness for that. Yeah.
No, but is all the quality as good as what the audience saw at the beginning of the show?
No, it doesn't. I mean, on our site, it can be. But the fundamental difference between, right now anyway, between internet streaming and watching your TV is the quality is pretty much the same on TV. It's your standard def or high def, and it comes to your house that way. And it's been around for 35 years, so they figured it, at least 35, 40 years, so they figured it out. Online, right now, if you logged on right here in the studio, you'd have one connection speed that allows a certain kind of video. Mm-hmm. Video is fat,
right.
And so it takes figuratively, mm-hmm. a large pipe. If you went to an office, it might be 3 times as high because they move a lot more data. If you go to our headquarters,
so
it's 10 times as high.
Okay.
So what we have to do, different than TV, is we have to have a quality of video that adapts to mm-hmm. the type of pipe, the size of pipe, the kind
is
of input
possible?
I can get. We're pioneering it this year, patent pending process.
Let's go back. Let's pick up the Bob talks about pipe. For the audience, that's the size of the cable, let's say, that's delivering the material to the information or sports to you.
Correct.
Let's go back to the point he made about that, which is the larger pipe, the better ability to deliver pictures is in the future. And it's with us presently now because Obama is focusing on the fact that our speed, which is reflected mm-hmm. in what I've just said, is apparently not competitive with other countries. And so what's it going to take?
It's going to take a lot of investment, and it's going to take network architecture, and it's going to take improvements in what's called CDN technology, content delivery networks, which are basically nodes to which you deliver your signal that are sort of sub-distributors, the way that in the old days affiliates were sub-distributors of network programming.
But that's an interesting question. The question is, where does it come? Does it come top-down or bottom-up?
Well,
what we've just heard is a top-down thought, right. including with the President-elect Obama. But the question is, I could make an equally strenuous argument that it actually bottom-up would be better. So what also is going to take is content providers, content publishers, like the sports leagues, like the networks, people who have live content that continually provide it live, simulcast, in high quality, where people say, sitting at home saying, I've got to watch it on the internet because I can't get to my TV, or my daughter's watching American Idol, so I can't watch it, I can't watch my live game. And then they see, gosh, if I had this better connection speed, I'd be able to watch it.
Yeah, but you can't have the better connection speed. If someone's going to make a big investment in the cable, let's say, that's delivered to the average home in New York City. Isn't that right?
No, you can. I mean, the technology, no one's going to lay any more cable. Okay, no one's going to dig up New York City.
Okay, well, you've got to fix the cable.
No, the cable's there. You've got to fix the compression of it at the output and the re-engineering of it at the reception.
Do you agree with that? That the cable is adequate and that all you have to do is take the pictures there, make it smaller so you can have more pictures, and then we'll end up with something, I think Bob said, as good as high-definition television, which most people in the audience are probably just getting.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that?
It's both. You need more cable. I would disagree with that, and we can debate infrastructure another time.
Probably not.
But, you know, you need more cable or you need a better connection the last mile into the house. What Bob is doing is very, very smart. He is saying, okay, now I've got a constraint in terms of bandwidth. AT&T and the cable networks that deliver broadband use copper wire. Fios uses fiber. It's a much fatter pipe, and therefore I can push through a better signal on it. So he's adapting.
He's got a subscription
product that provides him a core base that allows him economically
to do it. The more people you get,
I
don't know why I'm interrupting so much. Excuse me.
That's right. All right. Go ahead.
Because you're a lawyer. By training.
No, but I'm a TV star.
No, I understand. I said by training.
I'm not supposed to do that anymore.
No, TV stars interrupt now, too.
I've been watching some
cable TV. I can't remember now. No, I was going to say the issue is, you know, how do we, first of all, no one's going to lay any more cable. I mean, maybe Verizon will, but the whole WiMAX, the whole wireless is where it's ultimately going to be. It's going to, and that is a broader pipe, if not literally a pipe, to deliver that. No one's going to dig up the city of New York. No one's going to dig up any of the major cities anymore. It's going to have to be delivered wirelessly, in my mind. But that said, if you think how the internet is, if the internet, when it first started, and you wanted to get data, you know, the internet started 40 years ago, right? And you wanted to get data, not the web, which started 20 years ago. But you wanted to get data, you always had to go back to the head end. You had to go back to the University of Michigan to get the data. And then the web started 15 years, you know, 1993, 94. And he said, you know what? If Jim's online and he's on a page and Frank wants to get it, you know, why don't I let Frank get it from Jim? And so the reason why you started getting more speed is that they said, let's store it out there on the internet, this thing called the internet. Don't maybe come all the way back to the TV show, the website of the TV show. Frank will just get it from Jim. And that's now why it's instantaneous. No one has figured out how to do that with live video. Because the trick of live, if I can do the live video, because distance matters in this, right? So now I'm watching a live game and I can get it from somebody who's literally, physically, 3 feet from me instead of 300 miles from me. I can deliver that much better quality that much more quickly.
Okay, but I want to come back to the ultimate point here, which is we're in an age where we're going to have digital television. All the people out in the audience are going to get a better signal if we can ever get the digital television in the home. Mm-hmm. We don't know whether we're going to do that because this and that. And those who've seen HDTV are stunned by it, okay?
Yep.
Now we have over here, we've got the internet stream, but it's an internet network or whatever. It's internet television, I think. And we've seen it. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
But it's not as good as HDTV. No. I'm repeating myself a little bit. And Bob's got a lot of arguments that you do this and that, you're really going to get the quality up. But do you agree with him that someday this is going to be as good as HDTV?
It is today on a small basis. NFL.com HD, which I yesterday went over and did a little refresher course on some of the stuff I used to do at the NFL, it blew me away. It was HD quality on a computer screen. Now, that's only an international product right now for reasons that relate to the business model. But it's going to come, and I bet he does it next year.
The issue is also that's on a small screen.
That's a good point.
And on a small screen, we can deliver HD right now. But ultimately, you talk about your digital TV sets, where the TV set can get a direct Ethernet connection right in from the internet, and you're now on a 64-inch, that would degrade and pixelate.
Let me ask you something.
But I wanted to say this. The internet is not going to, it may be a different transmission model. It may be cheaper, better, and things like that. Mm-hmm. And I think Frank's right. It's here today and going to continue to grow. We think it is. But that just does not displace the model. Technology is an arrow in our quiver to optimize the value of the economic model between the various rights holder in a quest to serve the fan so we can answer the question in the affirmative. I'm a fan. I want to watch the live game between the Yankees and the Kansas City Royals. I want to watch it live, and I don't want you to tell me what device I'm going to watch it on. I want to pick my device.
And by the way, that's the European model already. The European sports leagues tend to sell window exclusivity. They tend to say, you've got it, you put it on any platform you want. Once that live window's over, then I'm going to have the rights to reuse the signal, I'm going to have the rights to cut up highlights and so on and so forth. I think eventually that's going to come because that's the way you balance the interests of the people who are paying you a lot of money.
Okay,
then they figure out how to evolve it technologically.
So the big picture here from your point of view, if I hear a consensus is, okay, you're going to get the quality at some point in time. You already got the quality, but when you hit the little button on the right and you blow it up on the screen, it doesn't look so good. But it's there, and it will come. If that is so, why is anyone going to watch regular television?
Because we're not going to give it to them. Unless you understand a deal, we're not going to let them stream a live game onto a TV set. I mean, we're still a content publisher. And so we're not going to let them stream it. If they want to watch a live game, they're going to have to subscribe to Cablevision or Time Warner or whatever to watch the live game.
They don't want to do that anymore.
Well, they're going
which is the audience, want to see it on the internet.
Then I think DirecTV is a good example here. They're very smart. Chase Carey is a very smart person in my mind. And what DirecTV does with the Sunday Ticket, which is the quote out of market package for football every Sunday, you pay an astronomical fee, and over 2 million people do, of roughly $250 to $300, and you can watch every NFL game. You get your broadcast TVs that are local, the Jets and the Giants, and then you get the other teams through the Sunday Ticket. And then they say, by the way, if that's not enough for you, football fan, and it rarely is, we'll let you for an extra $100. We'll let you stream the games anytime, anywhere you want. And so you think about it, you get your base product, if you will, it costs you amount, whatever you pay for cable, whatever you pay. And then if you want to enhance it, make it better, stream it, whatever it is, you pay an extra fee, and then you're in heaven. You, the fan, are in heaven. Anytime, anywhere you can watch the game, it costs you a little bit more money than Frank's paying because he doesn't really care about streaming. And I think that's the model that's going to evolve. I think Chase Carey and DirecTV have figured it out. I think they're in a good spot. And frankly, in baseball's world, that's the model we're going to try and emulate.
Let me pick up one point on all of this that's contrary to what I've been saying. Here's a quote. Right now, people can go to the internet to watch, but not enough will because it's not the same experience. We haven't really talked about that because all of Bob's argument has been effectively that it can be the same experience. Even if it is the same experience, TV won't migrate, I guess, would be the rest of his point. What do you think about the argument that there's a different experience watching a TV set than there is watching a computer?
That's going to disappear very quickly with home media servers.
Yeah, it isn't just about technology, too. I think it's a little about the social aspect because you're on your couch with your family. And I think whoever said that is revealing his or her age.
Yeah.
Because the social aspect is the way my kids...
Can I say who it is?
Sure.
Stephen J. Ferrella, Target Cast TCM. It sounds like a younger person.
Well, I don't know how you know that.
I don't think an older person would work for Target
but
Cast.
But you may be right. But I just watch the way my kids, have social experiences.
Right.
And yeah, they still enjoy boys coming over and girls coming over, hopefully separate rooms. They still enjoy all that. But they also enjoy, just talking online. and sending text messages and interacting that way. So I think the social experience, very valuable. That's why movies still exist. That's why I still watch movies in movie theaters, because I want a big screen and I want to get other people's reactions. But, you know, I'll watch a lot more on DVD than I did 10 years ago because I don't really care about it. So I think Frank's right. It's going to migrate away, and social experience today is just different for this new for the kids, the net generation,
and
whatever they are.
And trying to figure out what that social experience is going to be. Bob talked about the two-screen experience, exactly how that's going to evolve. 10 years ago, we thought that the two-screen experience was going to be sort of an appendix, a vestige that's going to disappear. I don't think that it is. I think that the handheld device is going to play the role that 10 years ago I thought an interactive remote would play, where you're going to pop up things on the big screen. There's going to be some stuff that you're still going to pop up on the big screen. There'll be a stats bar on the side or whatever. But a lot of the chat and interactivity function, you're doing with the device that you're going to use every day and put in your pocket instead of with something special.
There used to be a time when we talked about sports as being cable sports, because the only place you could see them on cable, that would be, for example, hockey. Will there be a genre called internet sports?
I think so, but I think the internet sports are the cable sports. I think cable has a better model, where they actually say to fans, if you like our product, pay money for it. Now, there's usually an intermediary called a cable company, but the process seems to work, and fans raise their hands and say, yeah, I like this content, whether it's HBO or whether it's the Rangers or the Jets, or not the Jets, the Rangers or the Islanders or Yankees or the Mets. They raise their hand. They're all on cable now. I think there's going to continue to be a migration to that because cable gets paid two ways. The customers pay and they get advertisers. Mm-hmm. The broadcasts are left with only advertisers. And while today's market exacerbates that because of the economy we're in, I think it's not a cyclical issue. It's a secular issue, right? And I think the cable, I think that ESPN, when it comes to sports, is not just a formidable power, but they are the 800-pound gorilla. And fortunately, they're very good and take their role very seriously.
So more cables, more sports migrate to cable?
No. I don't think that you've got two different questions here. You've got the question of migration. That means moving from here to there. I think that more of your volume sports put their volume product on cable. I still think that your premier events in those sports are going to be on premier channels, and ESPN is a premier channel.
Right. I mean, ESPN, which is a cable channel, just bought the BCS.
Yeah.
And they crushed the competition. The cover bid was 35% below what they bid. And they have a different model.
But
we view ESPN as it's now becoming what we consider broadcast, even though it is cable.
We've got to wind up.
Yes.
So what's the answer to the question?
What's the question?
The question is, are sports going to migrate to the net, leaving cable and regular TV behind? Yes or no?
The first answer, you asked a two-part question, Counselor.
Right.
The answer to the first question is yes, already happening. The answer to the second one is no, we're not going to leave them behind. We're going to actually make them more valuable by working in partnership with
them. That's good, because you better work with them, Bob. Frank, what's your answer?
My answer is no to migration, more to supplementation, more inventory, more small sports, more exposure. And it's good for the fan, it's good for the sports, too.
And what happens to the TV networks and the cable
networks? TV networks stay around. Eventually, you may get them over the Internet, but they're going to stay around for at least 10 years, I'd guess.
10? Thanks, gentlemen. And thank you all for stopping by. And come by next week and learn more about the digital age. For the digital age, I am James Goodale. Good night.